This passage from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 11, beginning of the chapter, is one of my favorite. There's so many good things from the book of the prophet Isaiah, but this one, a description of God's holy mountain, a sprout springing forth from a stump, the stump of Jesse. You remember who Jesse is, right? David's father. So this is the kingship that was established in the roots of Jesse and brought into King David, and yet it is cut off. At a certain point in time, it is cut off. And yet those ancient roots, that original design, that original intent of God, that through the son of Jesse, through a son of David, he himself would reign. We see the sprout beginning to blossom, to spring forth from a stump that was thought dead. God's holy mountain, so much that we see the animals that that don't play nicely with each other in our current world situation. And yet the transformation of it all, the knowledge of God, as if the world became impregnated with this wisdom of God, this knowledge of him, a true understanding of him. And because of it, there is radical peace. If you ever watched the Discovery Channel or, you know, the Planet channels where all the animals are tearing each other apart, and they're like, oh, look, nature's beautiful. See how beautiful and lovely it is, as the leopard's chomping on the antelope. And yet, in the fullness of God's peace, there will indeed be peace. There's a beautiful song, an Advent song, that sings on this holy mountain, and Father Kent O'Connor put a CD together and he recorded this singing, and it's one of my favorite albums because it's all Advent songs. Yes, there are Advent songs. We should be singing and listening to Advent songs now. Wait for the Christmas season for the Christmas songs. These beautiful songs that speak to us of a hope that we have and possess. There will come a day, my brothers and sisters, when the hopes of your heart for order, for peace, for justice, for the triumph of merciful love will be yours. And they will be manifest, not just manifest in your heart, but manifest in the world that surrounds you. It is one thing to courageously hope these things, knowing that the world cannot produce what I long for. I long for something so much greater than the world can possibly give. So for some people, when they come face to face with this, they stop hoping for that. Well, this will never be, so I could just stop hoping for it. It does me no good. I just get disappointed when I hope for this. But if we understand who it is that is the source of all of our hope and our longing and our fulfillment, then we can live in this world with that tension of holding for something so much greater, holding it, desiring it, wanting it, and yet knowing where and when it will be fulfilled. This kind of sober intoxication, you might say, the irony of that, right? Where there's a sobriety with which we live the world and we know what it is capable of, and yet we are intoxicated by the hope that is to come. We know that our hope is found in Jesus. And we praise God that He reveals this to us. Being like a child, you know, Jesus praises those who are childlike in the gospel text. Children have this radical hope, much to the point where we inject these little things into their hopefulness, right? You know, like, you know, they're like, whatever it is, you know, the hopes for a sporting team or whatever, you know, they're just these radical hopes. And we're like, well, now, remember, you know, there's another team that has to play, you know, and they're like, what are you doing? You know, they just this radical hopefulness of a child. And so often that radical hopefulness of the child is found because they have radical trust in their mom and their dad. So may we draw close to Jesus in these days. May we grow in wisdom and understanding of our Heavenly Father. May He reveal His trustworthiness, His mercy, His love, His character, that we too might bear within ourselves a childlike and radical hopefulness to see the fulfillment of all of our desires in Him. Amen.